We'll come back to order and Carla.
Tracy?
Could you read item 1101, please?
1101. Excuse me, we're starting. 1101, increase transparency and accountability in city operations by requiring that employees disclose outside work.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, President Saltzman. Colleagues, I'm proud to introduce this item today on behalf of myself, Mayor Wheeler, and Commissioner Fritz. The resolution before us is yet another reform designed to strengthen transparency and accountability in local government. Here's the background. The city has a policy concerning outside work or so-called moonlighting. It states that employees can have a second job provided they do not, one, engage in an actual or perceived conflict of interest, or two, give so much time to their second job that they aren't fulfilling their duties as a city employee. As we have learned, the city's written policy is confusing and complicated, doesn't give employees adequate guidance to ensure they're following the rules, and places the burden on employees to decide if a potential conflict needs to be disclosed. And significantly, the consequences of breaking these rules can be severe. We can and must do better for our workforce. The resolution before us today is modeled after national best practices, from Dayton, Ohio, to the Federal Department of Health and Human Services, to the states of Nevada and Alaska, and even to Multnomah County in our own backyard. It pairs clear guidance with mandatory disclosure of outside work, and it directs that an updated policy, training materials, and a disclosure form come back to us within 90 days for review and adoption. Now, in our research, we found jurisdictions that prohibit staff from engaging in outside work, but we are not proposing such a prohibition. In fact, a prohibition would put us at a competitive disadvantage in recruiting the workforce of tomorrow. With that, I'd like to invite my co-sponsor, Commissioner Fritz, to share any opening comments. And then we'll invite our city attorney, Tracy Reeve, and our chief administrative officer, Tom Reinhart, to briefly share their perspectives about this policy and how we can best support our employees. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. And also thanks to your chief of staff, Sonia Szymanski, for the work that you've done with my chief of staff, Tim Crail, on this policy. And thank you for your work on it. This, as Commissioner Fish says, is about transparency and accountability and for the people of Portland to know how their public employees are spending their time if they are engaged in outside activities that earn money. So thank you very much. Thank
you. So with that, Mr. President, we'll turn it over to our distinguished city attorney, Tracy Reeve.
Thank you. Thank you, President Saltzman, commissioners. I'm Tracy Reeve. I'm the Portland City Attorney. And I'm here to urge your support for this resolution, directing my office and the Chief Administrative Officer to develop revisions to city rules and to clarify employees' and managers' responsibilities regarding outside employment. One of my responsibilities under the code as city attorney is to seek to ensure that city employees comply with the legal and ethical requirements of public employment by providing advice, direction, and opinions. This resolution would assist my office in meeting that responsibility. The city has been reviewing and clarifying policies and training in a number of areas pertaining to legal compliance, conflicts of interest, and ethics. For example, last November, this council passed a resolution regarding city boards and commissions that resulted in greater clarity and training on the rules pertaining to conflicts of interest for members of city boards and commissions. As another example, we also regularly provide guidance to employees and managers on obligations under state and federal elections laws. We recently issued an updated memorandum to all city employees clarifying those obligations. The city's rules regarding outside employment would likewise benefit from an update to make it clear to employees what their reporting obligations are and to clarify managers' roles in evaluating outside employment. Current Rule 4.05 puts the entire burden of identifying a conflict on the employee. Little practical guidance to employees on when they must report outside employment, and no guidance for managers on what to do when employees do report outside employment are some of the problems that we think would benefit from an update to the rule. We believe that revising the rule to clarify that all employees should disclose outside employment and that non-represented employees should obtain written approval from their manager will benefit employees, the city, and the public in the form of greater transparency.
Thank you very much. We have this Chief Administrative Officer of the great city of Portland, Tom Reinhart. Tom?
For the record, Tom Reinhart, Chief Administrative Officer. Good morning, Council. I don't have much to add to my colleague's excellent introduction besides the fact that anything that increases government transparency and credibility, we should be looking at. So I urge your passage of this. I also want to say that one of the three pillars of the Office of Management and Finance's strategic plan is adopting 21st century business practices. This is clearly one of them that needs to be reviewed and potentially revised. I look forward to working with our colleagues in the City Attorney's Office and bringing you recommendations that we have. So with that, any questions from Council?
Colleagues?
So the rules would require a sign-off by a supervisor for an employee's extracurricular work?
We will have to come back with the specifics of the rule, but the now therefore be it resolved section from Council would direct us to look at requiring written approval for non-represented employees, but not for represented employees. And the reason for that is, some of the collective bargaining agreements already address the situation, and obviously we would need to have further consultations with the unions about it if we were changing the rules in that way for represented employees. Also, the non-represented employees, not exclusively, but on the whole, tend to be the more managerial supervisory level positions, or the higher level positions.
And is the intent to have the information posted so that the public can review it as well?
I think one of the transparency goals would be in whatever format that disclosure takes, it would be a public record. I can't think of an exemption from the public records law that would apply.
Well, as you develop the recommended rules, et cetera, I don't think that the public should have to ask for public records requests. It should be posted somewhere okay. So that it's available.
That concludes our presentation.
Okay. No other panel?
Nope.
No, okay.
And by the way, I would like to publicly thank Tracy and Tom for the collaborative way that they've worked with the council to develop this resolution. And Dan, frankly, this resolution is taking a little page out of your playbook where we sort of set the stage and but direct that policy a policy and written documents come back to council. So today we are teeing it up. We will have a second hearing when it comes back to council, and we'll have a chance to review and approve whatever recommended policy and documents this team brings back to us.
And I guess the only other question I have is, content neutral is a popular phrase these days. So will determinations about the propriety of outside employment be content neutral?
But content neutral, you mean in terms of the actual outside employment or?
Say I'm an exotic dancer outside of my job.
Okay, I think that, yes, so the goal is to have more clarity and to have objective standards, and the only tests will be whether it gives rise to an actual or perceived conflict of interest, which is set forth under state law, or whether it is so time-consuming that it would interfere with the employee's ability to do their jobs. But there shouldn't be any judgment other than those standards. There shouldn't be any judgment about the type of outside employment.
We anticipate, okay. Commissioner Saltzman, that there'll be a very small universe of people that trigger the actual or perceived conflict of interest issue. There are plenty of city employees that have outside business activities that have absolutely nothing to do with their day job. It gets a little closer if there's any overlap between parties that they regulate in their day job and parties that they're contracting with in their outside work. And then it gets the gray becomes things like actual or perceived conflict. That's where we think in those rare instances an interactive process with a supervisor is to the benefit of both the employee and the city.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Can I add one thing, Commissioner?
Yeah. Sure.
I do think that in conversations with my team, one of the interesting things that came up that I should mention is that with the changing nature of work and the fact that we have handheld computers that people can be doing business and creating their own businesses and running their own businesses on public transportation or walking around or at home, it does behoove us to really look at this, because I think, particularly as we attract and recruit the next generation of workers for the city's workforce, this will continue to come up. So the clearer we are around making sure that employees understand the expectations and that managers understand, you know, our role in educating and holding people accountable and increasing transparency, I think it's just a good practice for us to get ahead of. So I just wanted to add that.
Okay. Thank you. Carla, do we have anybody signed up to testify?
Yes, we have six people signed up. The first three are Shedrick J. Wilkins, Edith Gillis, and Lightning Super Creativity.
I'm Shedrick J. Wilkins, and I would not want to see this become a witch hunt. Public employees were looking for the city, making extra money. It's hard for me to explain this, but sometimes when I look at the situation in the Philippines, there's a large Air Force base there. I believe that the United States Navy in World War II at the Battle of Midway beat the Japanese and allowed the Philippine people to have a certain amount of freedom. But one could take the liberal position that if I work for Intel, and Intel as a second job makes computers that are sold to the Air Force, that I'm indirectly suppressing the people in the Philippines because of the Manila Air Force Base. Or if I work for Sony, if I sell PlayStations as a second job for a city employee, Sony is owned by Japan. So I'm working for companies that, like the Air Force or the United States Air Force, which suppresses the Philippine people. And it still goes to my opinion that the United States Navy beat the Japanese at the Battle of Midway after Pearl Harbor and allows the Philippine people a certain amount of freedom. And people who work for private companies here like Intel or Sony are not working in the interests of Japan.
Thank you. Edith, you want to go next?
Hello again. I enthusiastically support ever-improving policy, regulation, rules, and practices. I commend you for the good vocabulary, and I am hoping the good intentions and the actual follow-through on improved clarity, transparency, ethics, accountability, fairness, credibility. This improves the trust and the willingness of the citizens to cooperate, without which we cannot have a city working. I'm really excited about the possibility of Portland leading the state, county, and the nation with inspiring best practices, as we did about the ban for the fossil fuel infrastructure, and I expect this to do with the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Initiative. I agree that we need to watch out for actual and perceived conflicts of interest and time to do the job. I want us to also include thoughtful consideration of those, not just hours, but the levels of stress and risk to the employees and by them, especially those carrying weapons or used to forcing their will on others, police and security. Now, I realize that what is stressful for one may be enjoyable or calming for another. But we have to be careful, because over and over we're seeing horrendous terrorism and trauma and losses in our society because, for example, police who are working multiple hours. I want us to have a citizen review board that is respectful of confidentiality and workers' rights, but also of transparency. I want us to have posting the public records, especially of police and security, where they have increased rights and power and increased risk to society. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Creativity XX1 PDX. I have some concerns on this. Is that, number one, from my position, I don't want them to be allowed to have any outside work or moonlighting. Some of the concerns I have is really coming down to the actual agreements that they're going to sign and from their other employer. Exactly what are they bound by? What can they do? What can they disclose? And another concern I have is that also when we're dealing with nonprofits, if a city employee is also then affiliated with this nonprofit and we're giving them grant money and then they're taking their time also at this nonprofit, I have some concerns on that as far as where that grant money is going, and then also in the grant agreements on the PR clauses on what can be stated negatively against the city, but then they're also at a being employed by maybe someone else. So I have some real concerns on that for those reasons. Again, like I say, from my position, I also want to have an understanding. If I'm a city employee and I'm moonlighting or have an outside job, am I allowed to do that by the charter? Does the charter have anything in there that says I cannot do that? So I'd like to have...
Would you like an answer to that question?
Yes.
The charter does not prohibit outside employment. The only class of workers or employees at the city that are prohibited from outside employment, as you know, are the elected officials. Mm-hmm. And part of the oath that we take when we're sworn in includes our commitment, our disclosure that we have no outside undisclosed business interests. So the charter contains a prohibition for elected officials having outside employment, but does not have a provision that prohibits employees, which is why the city has customarily allowed it. And now what we're doing is just making sure that people understand what the rules are and that they are followed.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Another issue, I do agree with Commissioner Fritz that this does need to be hosted for the public to have easy access. And again, just from my position, it's kind of the perception of the conflict of interest, kind of the perception of impropriety on this situation, which I think is an area that you can get into that I would like to restrict that. I would like to have more of a clear understanding from that individual. Why do you need this other job? Is it because you feel you're not getting paid enough here? What is the real purpose of this? Because if you're not making enough money to pay your rent, your other living expenses, then maybe the city needs to really look at that from that position also and make some changes. Because it just really concerns me of the look itself, and will it be monitored effectively enough, the review by the auditors, or who's going to inspect this and who's going to watch this real close? I have some concerns on this. So I'm going to have to say I go against this. I want more transparency, but I don't want the moonlighting or outside jobs. And I think it's just too much of a conflict of interest. That's my own opinion. Thank you.
Thank you.
And there were three others?
Yes, okay. Joe Walsh, Charles Bridge Crane, and Maggie.
Okay.
It's going to take me a while because I'm old. No.
Want to go first, Maggie? You ready?
But you can leave me the end.
Sure, I can go first. Hi there. I would like to talk about...
Give us your name, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maggie. So I would like to talk about this conflict of interest thing as it relates to the county. Liam Frost works for Deborah Kafouri, who's the Joint Office of Homelessness and Home Forward, and he's the housing policy advisor. Well, he's an American citizen who is originally from Wales, and when he offered to help me find housing because I was criticizing the Salvation Army, I asked him to publicly state that he is not connected to to the Salvation Army, and he talked circles around me, and then he disappeared for 3 days, and he stopped talking to me. And it seems to me that when you've got the Salvation Army who puts people who are in wheelchairs outside because they have overstayed their number of emergency nights, and this person has to go to the hospital because their catheter gets infected because they're out sleeping outside next to the door of Salvation Army. When you've got lice and bed bugs and kennel cough and MRSA in there, and you've got people with high blood pressure, diabetes, and walkers, wheelchairs, and all sorts of disability in here because the nonprofits, housing alternatives uses the same template as these faith-based units, which is we're going to put all the least disabled into this subsidized housing, and we're going to take the most disabled and we're going to put them in the shelter. That's why they're building this new shelter for housing alternatives. But back to Liam Frost, back to this idea that you should not be connected to a contractor who's like got horrible human rights abuses in these shelters, and then you're advising the Joint Office of Homelessness, the head of Joint Office of Homelessness on housing policy. That is not good. And then Ted goes in and does this. Everything looks good. Everything sounds fine. Here's your money. And there's MRSA and lice and bed bugs and kennel cough, and people are crammed in like sardines. Oh, but it's all okay. You know, people, if you're not sick when you go there, you will be sick when you get in there. And then to leave a woman in a wheelchair outside at night, you know, she's probably got bed sores by now. She's been out there for 2 nights in her wheelchair. And, I tried to help this woman, you know, find disabled housing, but aging and disability needs to come in and help her. They're not doing it because no ombudsman is allowed to go in there.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Joe? Mr. Walsh?
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh, and I represent Individuals for Justice. No. You seem to be presenting an argument that doesn't have a problem. You haven't argued 30% of your workforce is working 2 jobs, and they're exhausted, and they're not doing their jobs, and that's what you found out. So this may be a good thing. Do you honestly think the cops are going to okay this? They are employees of the city still today, aren't they?
It's for non-represented employees, not the represented.
Oh, so we're selective. So we're taking a little piece and we're saying we can't get it through with the cops because they would blow their tops because some of them make $30,000 and $40,000 a year on overtime working for other people.
No, Joe, can I just clarify something?
Yeah. Don't interrupt me, please. You can say what you want afterwards. I know your attitude, Air Commissioner. You don't like us here. You don't like anybody saying, wait a minute. This is a problem that doesn't have... I mean, how many people do you know that are working second jobs?
We don't.
How many people are there? Are there 3? So you're going to do an ordinance? You're going to do a resolution? You're going to clamp down on them? And you're going to make the supervisor say, yeah, okay, you can go, you can't go? First of all, I don't think that's legal. I don't care what your city attorney says. They're wrong most of the time anyway. Why would you get involved in this? You're going to vote this. Someone's going to drag you to court. You're going to lose. I'm telling you. One mocha. Anybody want to take a bet? One mocha. You're going to lose this in court. You cannot say to an employee, you cannot make extra money outside of your job. You can't do it. It's a violation of their rights. They have a right to do that. You have a right to say you're fired. But you cannot say to them, you cannot work two jobs. You can fire them. You can discipline them. You can do all that. And if it holds up in arbitration, you're good to go. I don't think so. I think you're screwing up big time. And you don't have a problem. What is the problem? Would someone tell me? Just come on, guys. Tell me how many employees, Amanda, are involved in this.
That's the problem. We don't know. And so this just requires...
Don't know.
It
so
just
you're
requires
going to do this without knowing.
It requires reporting. That's what we're going to find out. It does not prohibit the employees from doing
you're
outside work.
You're going to do something without knowing what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're the doer. You like that word, doer. It's like due diligence. I don't know who the hell came up with that one, but you're the doer.
There we go. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Walsh. Mr. Gosselin.
Good morning, Commissioner.
Commissioner. You're so wonderful. I want my gold back.
Oh. It's still morning. Yeah, we're not even 11 o'clock yet. Imagine that. Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridge Craig Johnson. And along with Mr. Walsh's critique of the city attorney's office, I do want to note that Ms. Reeve did say that, as was asked, I think, by Commissioner Saltzman, that this is content neutral. The only two, if this goes fully through, which there is a strong point that it's not a good investment of the city's time, I think you really sometimes overset the bar too high for yourselves, especially when you say increase transparency and accountability in city operations. If you were really doing that, you would have at least disclosed, you have some knowledge. I think that you actually have been under-informed by staff. You have an idea, a nebulous idea, of how many unrepresented employees and how many represented employees are moonlighting. And you've got a potential rule coming forth where you're going to be content neutral, where you're not going to interfere with their moonlighting unless they're doing so much of it that it impairs their work, or if they're working for Airbnb or Uber or Lyft, giving inside information on how those companies continue to be under-regulated and cause crisis capitalism to flourish in the city of Portland. So there is some need to be aware of that, definitely. But I think it's already covered under state ethics law and the existing 4.05. So when, as this process goes through, as Commissioner Fritz has asked it to be open, I think it's going to be a little bit sad when we realize this much energy is going into a very small percentage of the city workforce, and it's not really equitable. There's going to be a disparity problem because, as was noted, the represented employees, especially the police department, which is the most moonlightingest entity in the history of the city of Portland, right now, moonlighters are prancing around inside the Apple store with a city finance police car parked within one block just in case there's an emergency during their 8 hours of overtime. So when you fulfill this, it should include reporting about that. If you're going to harass your lowest paid unrepresented workers, you should also... Yes, I do believe, Chloe, that... Listen, you've chosen to go with... the people that work here, who we don't even know, is this going to apply to PHC janitors? And also, shouldn't it be broadened to include employees, city contractors at transition projects?
Mr. Johnson.
Yes?
Are unrepresented employees include bureau directors, which are often paid more than commissioners, as well as upper management. So the idea that we are persecuting low-paid employees who need to have second jobs because they can't afford to live on their city paycheck is absolutely false.
Thank you.
And once again, I'm in a position where I've read this resolution, and the testimony I'm hearing makes me think that you all have read an entirely different document because you are giving testimony on something that doesn't exist.
Read the agenda item.
I do that every week. It's my job.
Non-representative.
You're being disruptive. I'm not speaking to
you. You are lying.
Mr. Johnson,
okay,
please
Mr. Johnson.
Proceed.
Now, therefore, be it resolved.
Charles.
They will be required, require disclosure of all outside work and compliance with state ethics law. Written approval in all circumstances for non-represented employees who wish to participate in outside work.
Non-represented. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your
time. Thank you all.
Commissioner Fish, my trustee chief is...
No, we're having a recess because the police are going to come in and remove me.
No,
we're not.
So, yeah, I do have a few more questions.
Just before you do that, could I... I have an amendment we need to introduce. Oh. And that is my trustee chief of staff.
We've got to deal with this.
Why don't we take a 3-minute break?
Are we in a recess?
Yeah, let's take a 3-minute break.